Give us an update, the state of the campaign. How are things going for you and your team?
It's going fantastic. We just reported our fundraising numbers. We're in great shape to execute our strategy. There have been 15 straw polls around the state, two statewide straw polls. I won one of those statewide straw polls, came in second in another, but I've won 12 out of 15.
And these straw polls are, I guess, really your only barometer, right? You just how you're faring with the most passionate Republicans, the engaged Republicans. Last night in Thief River, I was impressed. That was a room jam packed full of patriots, hanging on every word. So people seem to be engaged, and those straw polls are about your only indication, right?
That's the only indication, and then your fundraising numbers are another indicator. So you kind of triangulate all that. And the delegates are the main ones voting in these straw polls. And so it gives you a good barometer as you head into the convention.
What is resonating, Kendall, do you believe, to get those wins?
Well, here's a scenario, and especially in the two statewide straw polls. And again, remember, delegates are a big component of this. 65% of the delegates are looking for an outside candidate. When you tally all the votes, 65% looking for outside, 35% are voting for the establishment candidates that are in the race. And I think there is a huge motivation to have someone from outside politics to clean up the corruption and fraud of politics. And also from people from the business community. We all understand this. The regulations, the taxes, the fees on car tabs, property taxes, all of those things are putting an anchor around the neck of Minnesotans to the point where we're drowning. And if we don't get relief from someone from outside of politics to do this, know how to do it, get it done quick, we're going to drown. And that's what people are looking for. A lifesaver, actually.
You have a running mate since we spoke last, Brian Nicholson. Kevin just shared with me a comment he made. Minnesota can't afford the same old politics. I'm part of the silent majority of Minnesotans who are heartbroken and fed up with how far Minnesota has fallen. That ache is why I'm stepping off the sidelines to join Kendall Qualls as his lieutenant governor. I think ache,
amen,
defines a lot of what Minnesota is feeling right now.
Well, this guy was a CEO of a construction company minding his own business. He hired 300 people in the last 3 years at his firm. And there's been a rotation of politicians go through for a tour, they did to get photo ops. And he said to each of them as they left, what can I do to help? Our state is at a point where we can't invest in this state anymore from a private enterprise. And I did the tour as well. He said the same thing to me. And I called him a week later and I said, look, I'm looking for someone outside of politics to be my running mate. And he told me no. I said, that's great. I know that you're the right person if that's your first answer. 2 weeks later, he made the decision to join our ticket. And basically the message was this. If I'm going to have to leave this state like so many of my friends and family, I want to know that I fought for it. And that's why he's on this ticket with me.
When you talk about outside candidates versus establishment candidates, obviously that's a concern, inter-party concern a little bit there, Republican on Republican. Why do you believe that, I guess you're talking about Lisa Daymuth, Kristen Robbins, I'm trying to think who else you would consider establishment candidates. Who else? Am I missing anybody?
Well, Peggy's there well, Peggy Bennett, she's a great representative down and stuff. I mean, all these people are good people. And it's nothing against these guys. But here's the message for our party. This is more of a party issue. You can name all the candidates that we've run in the last 20 years. We haven't won. We're supposed to be the responsible party, the adult party, the party that gets it done. And if we got to be realistic, we have not gotten it done, not just for governor for the last 20 years, any statewide office, from attorney general to state auditor, secretary of state, any of those offices, we're zero for 20. At a certain point, you got to look at, do we need to recruit a different quarterback? And that's where we are.
The last time Minnesota elected a statewide Republican, 06?
That's correct.
Yeah, so we're talking 20 years in the wilderness, as you say. So that's definitely a challenge. Why do you think that is? What's going on there? Why has that happened?
Well, look, first of all, this is what I share with my friends in the Republican Party. we don't have enough Republicans in the state to win statewide. And a lot of people say, well, yes, we'll do. We just got to get them off the bench. Well, look, no one brings out more Republicans than President Trump. If we're not going to outpace President Trump, so that means we need swing voters. We need to nominate candidates that can attract swing voters from the metro without compromising our values. So it may not be the Republican in the legislature. It may be someone that is in the private sector. It may be someone serving in the military. It may be someone that's not our traditional Republican that we've gone to over the past 20 years. And that past 20-year profile has always been from the legislature. Kendall, and I think it's hard for people to admit that sometimes. But, yeah, it's hard for legislators to admit that. But we need to recruit an outside candidate.
And, hey, buddy, how are you, by the way? Kev here.
I'm great. Great, thanks.
In your travels around the state, have you met many that have said that they've basically left? Because I'm a big fan of Brandon Straka and the walk away, hashtag walk away. So many people are leaving the Democrat Party. And I got to imagine, especially around the metro, you're running into people that say, I just can't support this stuff anymore. Yes or no?
Well, it's a hybrid of that.
Okay.
They are fed up with the Democrat Party. But you know what? Because of the media stigma of the Republican Party, they're not ready to jump on our arms either. So the key is we got to find a figure that they can grasp onto. Someone to say, you know what, I've never voted Republican before, but I'm going to vote for this guy. I like this guy.
Yeah.
And when I ran last time, and this is what I shared last night, I was the first time down ballot candidate in 2020 when I ran for Congress in the western suburbs. That's CD3. And when I ran for Congress, I was more interested about running against Ilhan Omar. I just think she's a detriment to the country and an embarrassment to our state. But I didn't live in her district. I lived in the western suburbs. And so I ran that office. I didn't win it, but I didn't realize this at the time. I got 196,600 votes. That's the most votes than any of the suburban congressional candidates. So this is Congressional District 2, 3, 4, and 5, the four metro districts, more votes than any candidate that's run in the last 6 years. So I'm sharing with Greater Minnesota, guys, if you bring your game, I'll bring mine, because what we always has been our Achilles heel is not having enough votes in the metro to offset the Democrats, and we can do it. If I can do it as a first-time down-ballot candidate, 6 years later, I can bring that and more. And that night, we'll be able to, I think, share a victory party together because we have a predicate, basically a profile of what I've done in 2020.
That's the key.
And what won the day to get the numbers to outperform Republicans and even Donald Trump? It's impressive, obviously, in the thick of the ick of Minnesota to do that. What about your resume? What about your platform won the day?
Well, here's how it won the day. Look, I'm unapologetic about my love for this country and that the formula for America works. When people learn my profile, having come from inner city Harlem and then later moving with my dad in a trailer park in Oklahoma, it's a classic American story. You know what? I was never envious of anyone else's success. It motivated me to get that too. And so I worked full time, put my way through college, and it was all about financial achievement and wealth accumulation. And then when I was 27, someone invited me to church. I didn't want to go to church. I believed in God, but I didn't believe in the church. I'm so glad I did. I became a Christian that year and dedicate my life to that and raise my family. We have five kids. All of that stuff is the formula for America works. And if you're a Christian, God has a plan and purpose for you. And so I embraced that. And it resonated. I had people that came out and said, this is the first time I've ever written a check for a politician. I think people wanted yard signs. I've never had a yard sign in my yard before. They love the inspirational story and to see it in real life and have it happen in their own backyard.
Tell folks a little bit about your the experience you bring to this run. You talk about, hey, I'm on the outside candidate and that works. What did you do on the outside?
Yeah, so after I finished college, I went into the military. I was an artillery officer. I served 5 years as an officer leading teams, large teams here in the United States, as well as in the South Korea, right on the DMZ. And I wanted a different career. My father was a career Army guy, my father-in-law, 30 years. But I, after 5 years, I got out. I got my MBA from the, I say the U of M, but it's the other U of M in Ann Arbor. And then I worked in sales and marketing teams. So I started in sales with a large company, Johnson & Johnson, and then later with sales management, got promoted to the home office and marketing, $600 million business unit. So basically leading sales and marketing team in a results-oriented world. I've hired, over the course of my career, I've hired probably 890 people, promoted 100 of them. I had to fire a few, just, you know, that's the land we live in when the results matter and you get issues with competency and all that. But it is driving business and driving growth. I did some startup companies as well. And so that's been the nature of my career, my life for the last 30 years.
How long have you been involved in politics? One of our listeners asks, Kendall.
Yeah, only 6 years. I got involved for the first time 6 years ago. And, you know, the party wanted me to stick around because I did so well. But, when 2024 came in, I started a private nonprofit foundation after I lost. And it was really targeted toward the Black community to restore two-parent families. So if you know in the history of politics, and the 50 years ago, the Democratic Party, came out with this social welfare program, but the only way you can activate it or access it is that you couldn't have any adult males living in the home. Well, what that did over the course of 50 years is it literally destroyed the two-parent American Black family.
Yeah.
We've gone from 80% two-parent families to 80% fatherless homes, and there's not been one initiative to reverse that trend. And we did that. We're starting that here in Minnesota. And so that's what I did. Instead of running for Congress again in 2022, I started that, and I told the leadership, I said, you know what, I can help the conservative cause better than that. But then, anyway, I got recruited to run for governor last time, and I felt like I could do a better service for our state as governor than I could as one of 435 members of Congress.
You wanted to tell us one more thing before we let you go.
Yeah, real quick. So if everyone remembers the Contract with America that Newt Gingrich used to reclaim Congress after 40 consecutive years of Democrat control, he used that contract with America in 1994. Well, we've introduced a contract with Minnesota. You allow us to get the trifecta. We're one seat away in the House. The Democrats control the Senate by only one seat. We can flip two seats in the Senate. We can get our first trifecta since 1969. And on our website, on the contract tab, go to contract, you'll see the 15 points that we'll go down that we'll do to restore Minnesota back to its glory and focus on economics, focus on education, get the flag back. That flag was a socialist retake over of our and to erase our heritage and history. And so you'll see those 15 items that we're wanting to accomplish with the contract with Minnesota.
Appreciate your time today. You're a warrior, and we appreciate your good work.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Kevin, take care. God bless you guys.